four men, of course, in New York, accused of planning a terrorist attack on two synagogues in the Bronx and on a military base and on planes at a nearby Air Force base in New York were arraigned in federal court in upstate New York yesterday. They had been under investigation by the FBI, by the Joint Terrorism Task Force, and by the New York City Police Department. Here's NYPD Commissioner Ray Kelly briefing reporters on what he knew about the case yesterday.
They did make statements about what was going on in Afghanistan and Pakistan, and that Muslims were being killed, and that they were looking to do something against the United States.
Okay, well, in federal court in White Plains in Westchester yesterday, Assistant U.S. Attorney Eric Snyder said the suspects were, quote, eager to bring death to Jews. He also said the suspects said they were disappointed that the best target, which is the World Trade Center, was hit already. Well, according to our next guest, the NYPD likely played a big role in this investigation and has been working hard for several years to sharpen its approach to uncovering homegrown terrorist plots like the one we're talking about. Joining us is Lydia Khalil. She served as a counterterrorism expert and analyst for the NYPD from 2006 to 2008, and she's an international affairs fellow now at the Council on Foreign Relations. Lydia, to start off, a lot of people still might not be aware that the NYPD has its own counterterrorism and counterterrorism intelligence unit. Just bring us up to speed on this. What is this unit and what does it do for New York City?
Sure. Good morning. The New York Police Department has a counterterrorism bureau, and within that bureau there are two main divisions. One is the counterterrorism division and the other is the intelligence division. And they work together very closely on countering the terrorism threat in the New York area and also monitoring events overseas in case that they do manifest themselves here in our city.
Monitoring events overseas. The city of New York sends operatives, agents, what have you, to other countries. It's fascinating.
Well, they're more like liaison officers. And yes, I think we have about, I want to say anywhere between 12 to 18 NYPD liaison officers in various capitals throughout the world.
All right. And so they were apparently active in the plot, the alleged plot that we're talking about here in New York City, in the Bronx, in Riverdale this morning. So I want to ask you about this plot specifically. We're reading in the New York Times, of course, a little bit of a more of a window into the alleged plotters. And the crew of people that we're talking about, a crack addict, a person who's mentally ill, somebody with a long record as a petty thief, were these people asked this question after a lot of these homegrown plots are cracked? Are these people capable of carrying off a large-scale terrorist attack, or is it a lot of news coverage of for lack of a better word, some hapless clowns?
Well, as far as we know from the information we have, these guys don't have an overseas connection. They may be hapless, they may be incompetent, and I think there was one quote in the paper that says these guys aren't exactly al-Qaeda. Well, these guys aren't at all al-Qaeda, but at the same time, that doesn't make them any less dangerous. They could get lucky. One of the guys, I think it was the ringleader of the attack, had been caught on tape saying, "I'd like to shoot all these people," as he was scoping out the synagogue, so people walking in front. While they may not have been able to get explosives or a Stinger missile on their own, they could have easily got a handgun and carried out that type of attack. So these guys do seem come off as a bunch of clowns, petty criminals, but like I said, they could get lucky. You just never know.
And this entire plot sort of developed really under the auspices of the NYPD and the FBI, didn't it? I mean, it seems like certainly the bombs they got were fake, the missile launchers they got were fake. They were under the watch of the FBI and dealing with an informant. Do we have any sense, is it possible to have any sense of how dangerous these fellows really could have been if they weren't acting on a stage-managed play managed by the FBI?
Well, I think issues the NYPD and the FBI are very aware about the issue of entrapment. So I'm
right.
Assuming that they got their informer in early and they were lucky enough to do that. But probably they were very careful not to have the informant egg them on or say anything, just because if they did, it's going to come out in the trial.
Right.
So I don't know if I would quite put it as a stage managed play, but that's certainly something that the law enforcement agencies do have to be aware of.
Okay.
And, you know, who knows with these guys? They could, like I said, they could get lucky. Just because they may be incompetent doesn't mean something couldn't have happened. I mean, I think that's one of the things that people need to be aware of. We shouldn't exaggerate the threat coming from homegrown groups, especially in the United States, because we're lucky enough to have a better assimilation policy than other parts of the world. But it's something to be aware of. And the New York Police Department's been, like you mentioned it earlier, been doing a study, I think starting since 2007, on this homegrown threat.
Well, I had one question about the NYPD and their counterterrorism and their intelligence that struck me. We're talking a lot today about national security strategy in Washington, detainees, classified information. When a city has a counterterrorism unit and deals with a lot of secret stuff, what are the rules for classified information? We hear a lot about, you know, state secrets and the rules with the CIA and the Pentagon and the stuff in Washington. When you're local, what's classification? Can the mayor declare a city secret that nobody can know about it based on city security?
That's a really good question. Technically and legally speaking, the New York Police Department or local authorities cannot classify something. So the classification system that the federal government use, confidential, secret, top secret, and SCI, those are strictly federal classifications on intelligence issues. So while law enforcement evidence and information is classified as sensitive or law enforcement sensitive, it's not strictly classified. That being said, the New York Police Department has worked long and hard with the FBI in terms of getting some of its detectives and analysts who work on the terrorism issue clearances. And this has kind of been an ongoing effort, and many of them do have clearances. Certainly not everybody within the New York Police Department does. I mean, it's a 37,000-strong organization. It's only those handful of people who work on terrorism issues are able to get federal clearances in order to have access to information that the federal government has to help them secure New York City.
All right. Well, we'll be following this case because it heads to the courts. Obviously, the case of four alleged plotters in the Bronx plotting against synagogues and Air Force Base, National Guard Base. Lydia Khalil, former NYPD counterterrorism intelligence official, now at the Council on Foreign Relations. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate you being here.
Thanks very much.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.